This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
On February 15th, the Globe and Mail published an editorial entitled, "See Hamas for What It Is." Now that the deceits of this editorial have been laid bare, the more appropriate title for the editorial would be, "See the Globe and Mail for What It Is." To discuss the Globe and Mail editorial and controversy surrounding it, I'm joined on the phone by Sama Sabawi. She's a writer and activist and a mother, and we've reached her at her home in Ottawa. Good morning, Sama. Welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning.
What's the main contentions of the February 15th Globe and Mail editorial?
Well, it basically, it came out at a time when the government was deliberating what it was going to do with the new Palestinian government. And the editorial was saying that that optimists who take the view that that victory that Hamas has had in the last election in Palestine, that it would lead to the Islamic militant Islamic movement to moderate its views. Such optimists were wrong to hold that view, and the proof that they were wrong was that they should take a look at this video that Hamas has presented on its website this week. And then the editorial goes into gory details describing the vile video, and the video is about two suicide bombers. And then at the end, it ends with saying that that this is proof. Hamas is airing the video now is proof that they haven't changed, because they're airing it after the election. And it ends with warning the international community that it should have no relationship with such a terrorist group, basically.
How did you respond when you read this editorial?
Well, when I read it, it just jumped off the page at me. There was something wrong with it. I could tell just from the first read that there was something dishonest about the editorial. It didn't make sense in terms of the timing. That because I read the Arabic newspapers as well, and I'm very well educated on the politics, and so it didn't make sense that Hamas would be airing a video after the election about a bombing that took place. The video was actually taken over a year ago, so why would they bring out this video now? So that was one thing. The other thing was the language used in that editorial. It was very very vile, and it just didn't flow like Arabic language normally flows. It looked like it had interruptions, so it looked like an edited version of something.
The video
didn't make sense to me.
The video itself.
The translation of the video, mm-hmm. The transcript. The Globe and Mail published the whole transcript. Well, not the whole transcript, but it did publish a lot of the transcript. In fact, I think almost two-thirds of the editorial were the transcript of the video.
How did you follow up your suspicions when you thought that it sounded fishy?
I wanted to see the Hamas website, because the editorial said, take a look at a video presented on the Hamas website. So I figured, let me take a look, because this is really strange. So I went on the internet and I started looking for a Hamas website, and I didn't have any luck finding one that aired the video. So, my suspicions were kind of confirmed at that point.
And did you then, were you then able to kind of track down if there was a video, where it was?
Well, I called the Globe and Mail the same day. I read the editorial in the morning, and I think by early afternoon, I called the Globe and Mail, and I asked the person who picked up the phone. I just said, "Look, I want to know the source that was used for today's editorial," and immediately she put me through to Marcus G. And I said, I would like to speak to the person who wrote the editorial. And he said, go ahead. I said, well, I'd like the source that you've used to base your editorial on, the Hamas website, the source. And he said, no problem. Just give me your email and I'll send it to you right away. And I thought that was really nice and friendly of him. And so anyways, I hung up, and within like 5 minutes, lo and behold, in my inbox was his forwarded email, which was an email that he had received from the Palestinian Media Watch Group.
Who is that, the Palestinian Media Watch Group?
They're a propaganda, right-wing propaganda Israeli outlet. They basically send out this information as much as possible. What they do is they're very focused on one theme, which is hate as a source for terror. So if you look at their website, if you punch in the word hate and terror, you'll get just so many words on each page. They don't mention the occupation. They don't mention the Palestinians in a human light. They describe, I was just reading on their site this morning, they were talking about these Palestinians that were interviewed for the Palestinian television recently, and they kind of distort things. They take things out of context, and the end result is they were saying that these Palestinian children were saying that that their hope in life was to achieve shahada, which is dying as martyrs for God. And it was saying that dying, the writers who had written this transcript were saying that dying has become an end goal. It's not something you do to achieve something. It's become the goal itself. So it's a death culture the Palestinians have that causes them to blow up. And it's just, to me, I've had to put up with this kind of thing before. We had a guest speaker at my daughter's school on the anniversary of 9/11, who came in, and she was saying the same thing to students. She was working on a website called Mothers Against Teaching Children to Kill and Hate, which is a vicious website. It's just as bad as the PMW website. And she told the grade 5 students, if you think that 9/11 was a problem and it happened over in the U.S., you wait till your Palestinian friends have their cousins come to visit them and end up blowing themselves up in your backyard. And this is to a grade 5. So, I mean, these people have absolutely no ethics, no morals. And they focus on hate and terror as opposed to handling the facts, looking at the facts, looking at the occupation. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I don't know if we have time to kind of go through this, but, you know, there's a lot to be said about the kind of life that the Palestinian children have, the malnutrition they suffer from, the terror. The UNICEF report this year came out, and, these are where the facts are. 2,800 children die every year in Gaza because of preventable diseases. 15% die because of growing neonatal mortality. Malnutrition is at a high 10%. And this is all because of the occupation. So you come to, you come and you focus on something like a death culture. It's dishonest. And sadly, it's dishonesty like that is coming through our editorial in our national newspaper, unreferenced.
Well, let's look at that then, because Marcus Key sent you his source, but that wasn't the source he claimed in his editorial. What did you follow up after that?
Well, yeah, I sent a letter to the editor right away on the same day, on the 15th of February. I sent a letter to the editor saying I called and asked for the Hamas link, and you ended up giving me the PMW link. And I talked about PMW and Itamar Marcus, who runs PMW, who's an Israeli settler, actually, who advocates settlements. And I asked the Globe and Mail in my letter to the editor how they could do something like that and where they're lying to their readers. Of course, my letter was not published, and I waited 2 days, and I got nothing from the Globe and Mail, no explanation, nothing. They just thought that I would go away. And that's kind of funny because, in retrospect, thinking back, had they published that first letter and addressed it in a professional manner, they wouldn't have the embarrassment that they have today trying to cover up their sources all the time.
Did Marcus Key acknowledge that he didn't have independent proof for his claim that it was a Hamas video?
Well, yes. What I did is I waited 2 days, and when I didn't hear back from him, I sent an email saying I insist, and I copied the email to Mr. Greenspan and Sylvia Steed, the deputy editor. And I said, I insist that I do want to know the source, and I want to know, I want the Hamas link that you've mentioned in your article, because if you don't have it, then you're telling me that, that you are just mimicking the PMW and you actually use them without referencing them. And I did get an email back. I mean, we had several exchanges of emails back and forth between me and Mr. G. And finally, I mean, I don't know if, you know, finally he sends me an email saying that he doesn't have any independent proof that the videos were shown after the election. And I'm quoting him here. No independent proof that the videos were shown after the election. And then he adds, almost casually and with great confidence, and says, but, you know, that's the what the PMW people say, the Palestinian Media Watch, and I have no reason to doubt what they're saying. So not only did he confess to not having another source at the time, he confessed to relying completely on PMW and to have this blind trust in a vile, disgusting group that dehumanizes Palestinian children.
Now, you wrote an article for Counterpunch pointing out these deceptions. Was there any response after the Counterpunch article appeared?
Well, the Counterpunch article, I got over 200 emails. It took me 2 days of sitting down and responding. A lot of people, it was amazing to see how many people out there were just disillusioned with the Globe and Mail, and people were sharing their experiences with me about trying to correct the Globe and Mail, especially Marcus Gee on specifics and not being heard. Then finally, on Friday, I think my article was published Thursday, and then on Friday I got an email from Gee saying, I'm disappointed in you for sharing what I thought was an open exchange. It was a very condescending email, and at the end he says, if you still think that we acted unethically, then, you know, I welcome you to write a letter to the editor. And then he goes, but of course I can't guarantee it will be published. So I couldn't believe that they were still, that he was still so arrogant, and that tells me that he's well backed within the Globe and Mail, that he really had no reason to worry that he was being caught with charges like plagiarism. I mean, that's what he did. He based his entire editorial on a source that he did not credit, and you know, that's journalism 101. You don't do that.
Did you ever track down a video that was purported to be at the Hamas video?
Well, they finally sent us, and that was only after an organization called Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, and it's an organization that I kind of work closely with. It was after that they started sending letters to the Globe and Mail asking for a link, and I guess it was also after the article. There was an article published in the Toronto Star as well on this, and it was after that they panicked, I guess, and started looking for a link, and the PMW provided them with a link, and that's my guess, that it's a PMW who provided them with that link. But the link was for a Hamas-friendly website, absolutely, but it had a disclaimer saying that it was not a Hamas website. So we're back in square one.
What does all your tracking down of the Globe and Mail sources indicate to you?
I haven't, beyond this article, I don't really want to go beyond this article, but the my communication with the Globe and Mail and that of Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East has shown that they're unwilling to admit, even now, after the Toronto Star published their column, and after Greg Felton wrote a column for Arab media, Canadian Arab media newspaper, they're still not willing to even, like, we've been asking them to at least grant us a meeting to sit down and discuss this, because to us this is very scary, to know that the editorial is a mouthpiece for Israeli right wing. That's a scary thought to have, and that they're advocating more conflict in the region as opposed to doing what Canada does best, which is trying to sort out the facts and be peacemakers. And we're disinforming the Canadians when we rely on secondary sources. We're not asking much of the Globe and Mail. I don't want Mr. Marcus G to change his views. He can write whatever he wants, but he has to admit that it's his opinion. And if he's relying on what he thinks are facts, he has to give the proper referencing to the sources he's relying on. Because when the average Canadian is going to read his editorial, it looks like he did the research. And the average Canadian has no reason to doubt. It was only because of my awareness of the Arab language and of, you know, what was going on over there at the time that this editorial triggered a lot of red lights for me. But that's publishing lies. I mean, that's so unethical. And to have the last thing that we've received from the Globe and Mail, this is after asking them over and over again for a meeting or at least to tell us what they plan to do to correct the situation. They send us a letter that basically dismissed us and says, we've heard your complaints clearly. We feel no need to further discuss in a personal meeting. And then it goes on to say, I did not concede the words that you've, because we have told her that she may have conceded to something that the editor relied on PMW. And that's it. And they're saying, leave us alone. We're working this out internally without even telling us what they plan to do to fix the situation. I mean, the least they can do is put a correction and an apology to the readers.
Well, Sama, I really appreciate your speaking with me about this morning.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
I've been speaking with Sama Sabawi in Ottawa. She's a writer and activist, and you can find the Globe and Mail editorial, Sama's Counterpunch critique, and other related material on the Canada-Palestine Support Network website at www.canpalnet.ca. Click on the activities page and look for Lies My Media Told Me.